Conversate for a few.
Welcome to another episode of Conversate for a Few. I'm Jonna.
I'm Alan. This is not a podcast about classical music.
Absolutely is not. This is a podcast about hip-hop. What are we doing today, bruh?
We just going off the top, man. Got a few things to cover and discuss. You know, we'll be a little bit all over the place.
I like that. It's been a minute since we've been, you know, we went off the dome with one.
Right.
I'm gonna let you lead off.
So I've been having a question, right?
Okay.
Because I love this group or their movement, right, so much in years past, and my love for their music, I guess would say, my affinity for their music has been waning, okay, in recent times. So my question is, where does Griselda go from here?
Oh man.
Do I need to give some context of why I'm saying that? Or you know,
go ahead and give context. Because I mean, me and you, I think, feel a similar way. Well, I think a lot of people feel this way, but you go ahead and give some context.
Yeah, but nobody wanna say it, but we're gonna talk about it. So yeah. When West Side Gun, Conway, Benny the Butcher first emerged out, like we was eating up and we loved everything they was doing for, you know, different people for different reasons, right? Some because it was nostalgic of some of the earlier 90s hip-hop, mid to late 90s hip-hop, right? And just, of course, they could rhyme. And so, like, people liked the bars. It was a lot of different reasons, the style. There was a lot of stuff that people liked. And to me, they was putting out quality projects. Benny the Butcher first, he had a few classic mixtapes, I would say, but one of the main ones is Tana Talk 3.
Yeah.
That's really, like, opened people up to Benny. And then, you know what I mean, there was a big waiting for his album, a big anticipation. His first album, Plugs, I meant, to me, was a classic album. Very good album. And then put out another album, not so good, not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Plugs I Met Too with Harry Fraud, some of the worst.
Yeah, Griselda yet. Yeah, that was the worst Griselda yet.
That was the worst Griselda yet, right?
Yeah, that was the worst Griselda.
Right. And honestly, I haven't heard anything from him recently that makes me want to continue to invest in following and listening to his music. That's including songs he's been featured on, I've heard recently, or any recent freestyles. It's not the same, right? And so Conway is the same thing with Conway, but not the same thing in that for me, Conway, he's losing my attention, not because his bars, he's super nice.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, it's not that, but it's song arrangement.
Mm.
It's song arrangement and production. I feel like they need to expand their palette outside of Derringer and Alchemist and, you know, and really work with other producers that can help them develop songs.
Yeah. To be honest with you, Not to cut you. I don't know.
No, go ahead.
I don't even know if it's the producers and the song structure that's the holder at this point. I think it's executive production and overall aesthetic building, which is odd because that's West Side strong suit seemingly. Right. But either they're not. Either he's not as hands-on as he was, or he's not growing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not as hands-on, or he's not growing. And if he's not growing, I would tend to believe that he's not as hands-on, because he strikes me as the type of person that he would notice that he's not elevating and not growing, and he would bring somebody in to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So I tend to believe that he's not as hands-on. So they may need someone to come in and play that role that he was playing.
Yeah.
You know? Now, with that, they do need to expand the sound. They need to bring in a bit more instrumentation.
Yeah.
Tell her, be a little bit more thematic.
Right.
Plugs I Met was hella thematic. Lulu was hella thematic.
Right.
Shit. Honestly, even From a King to a God was pretty thematic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just what story are you telling album from album? Mm-hmm. And at this point, it seems like one long story. Like we're not getting any arcs. We're not getting any, you know what I mean? So it's just the same exact iteration of the same exact story over and over. It's very akin to what we get from Rick Ross. It's not that the quality of it isn't high, because it's high quality hip hop. You know what I mean? But it's redundant from that artist.
Right. And so what I was going to say, Pusha T, you can follow pretty much his whole career. Like, well, let's say from grinding to now, it's one long verse, one long song. However, the aesthetics, the theme, and the high quality lyricism have always been there. Yeah. So I never get bored. You see what I'm saying? So if you're going to continue to rap about the exact same thing, I don't have a problem with that. Just do it in a more creative manner.
You just came up on something, bro, that may be genius.
I'm a genius, so I'm not.
Well, I mean, that's obvious. You're definitely a genius, right? But I think you just displayed it. How about that? You just put it on display for me. Push is no longer good.
Mm.
Griselda is the perfect place for him to go do what he could have done, what we thought he was going to do over at Good.
Right.
When he took that exec position, when he took that the head A&R and all that, like what we expected from him at Good, I think he could go join Griselda in that capacity and take them to the next level. Him and Stephen Victor, you know what I mean? I think yo, that might be the lit right there.
Yeah.
Because he do what they do, he just does it from a more aesthetically pleasing level.
Right.
It's more artfully done.
More artfully done.
And all three of them, Conway, Benny, and Westside, have the ability to do it in an extremely artful way. They just need somebody to craft it for them outside of their own vision. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, so.
Because I know people want to keep everything in-house and all of it. You know what I mean? You're going to keep doing the same thing that you think works.
Right.
But sometimes you got to go outside of yourself.
Yeah.
For if you want to grow and expand.
Right.
And for the insertion of new ideas that will help you elevate and grow. And I agree. I definitely think they need to think about putting together a team to help. Yeah.
And like I said, I think you hit the nail on the head bringing Pusha into the equation. I think Pusha is probably the person. Pusha already got the connects. He already got the team. He already, you know what I'm saying? He already understands the aesthetic. You ain't got to train him to anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's been trained by the best. He's been in the lab with Ye. He's been pushed by Puff. You see what I'm saying? To be more surprising with the next line. He's been through the gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
And not only Pharrell, I mean, not only Kanye and Puff, he came through with the musicality of Pharrell.
Right.
You see what I mean? So he understands some things. He understands the markability. The nigga wrote da-da-da-da-da for McDonald's.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, he's been in enough lanes so I think to make that gumbo. Of all those ingredients that Griselda brings to the table, he can make the perfect gumbo with it, in my opinion.
Right.
So yeah, right. I love that. I love that, bro. We good on that one?
Yeah, we good. We good on that.
Okay. I want to send out a salute and a super shout out to 16 Pad Killer My man, my man Cuddy. You see what I'm saying? My man Cuddy, 16 pad killer. We got something big on the way too, bro. Launching April 1st. I'm gonna let him announce it, but he got something big coming. But my man 16 pad killer got his first placement in the industry.
Yeah, I saw that.
100% played, no samples. You know what I mean? So it's 100% him. He had a placement with Troy Ave. And the dope thing about it is this song is going to live in the ether of hip hop and this story that is Troy Ave and Tax Stone forever. Because Troy Ave took the stand yesterday.
Yeah.
Or the day, whatever it was. And this beat that he chose to do on a 16 pad killer Machine Mafia production. Is basically telling the story about him getting on the stand. You know what I mean? So every time from here on out, when people go through the lore of telling this story, they're going to revert to the media that was put out around it. And this song is going to get played. You know what I mean? I told him yesterday, 5 years from now, they're going to play this song. 10 years from now, they're going to play this song. 20 years from now, when they having a conversation about this, this type of podcast is going to have conversations about this era. They're gonna play that song. They're gonna mention that song. You know what I mean? So that's a hell of a look. That's a hell of a look for your first placement, bro.
It is. It is. Yeah. And for him, it's beautiful because it's perfect timing because of the case going on. So it's gonna be a lot of attention, a lot of traction around that. You know what I mean? So it's perfect.
Yeah. So it's perfect, man. I just wanted to, I'm proud of my boy, man. So I just wanted just wanted to send a big salute. Machine Mafia, 16 pad killer, big salute, man. My boy Cuddy. I known him since he was a lad, a wee lad. You feel me? I know my boy since he was a wee lad. But I ain't gonna take too much time on it. But what you think about the case? This whole thing. What you think about it?
Dang, I don't, man, it's so funny. I don't even know what, honestly, I don't even know what to think about it. It's crazy. The whole thing is crazy. I mean, I don't know what they expect him to say, because it's all, like, the majority of the part that Troy Ave played is on tape.
Well, well, Troy Ave said he gonna get up there and say exactly what happened.
I know, and that's what he's doing.
And that's what he's doing. I mean, is that okay? Is that snitching?
I know.
Is that snitching?
But see that's the catch 22 to it. It is, but then it's on tape. So why do they even need him to say? Well, I guess the reason why they need him to say talk is because it's on video. You don't hear dialogue. No. So they want to know the dialogue leading up to what they're seeing.
Well, yeah, right? That and Tax Tone is saying something different happened.
Yeah, he's saying something. Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? But
here's the thing, because both of them are talking. Are they both snitching? And then are they even snitching on themselves?
This is semantics, splitting hairs, right? Yeah, but I would imagine from the street side of things, if I'm talking to the police and I'm not telling them the truth, I'm not snitching.
No, that's the
one. One of them is telling the truth. Whichever one is telling the truth is essentially snitching.
Well, that's Troy Ave.
But I must say, I don't know what you expect that nigga. If you shoot me, and I don't kill you in the process, and the cops arrest you, I'm going to be on the stand telling on your motherfucking ass. I don't give a fuck about you, and I don't give a fuck about your street rules. Don't shoot me if you don't want to go to prison. I'm going to try to kill you in the moment. You see what I'm saying? Like, while it's happening, I'm going to be actively trying to kill you too. You see what I'm saying? But if I don't succeed and you shoot me and I live, I'm testifying. And I don't understand your expectation for me not to testify. That don't make sense. Right. Not to me.
No. I get it.
And now, I'm not gonna go
on top of that.
Right. I'm not gonna go with you, do a crime. I get caught, you don't, and I tell on you. I'm not gonna do that. You see what I'm saying? That's not gonna happen. But if you do harm to me and I can't get you back right there in the moment, I'm telling, and they already got you. I'm not. What did he do? He shot me. fuck? Yeah, yeah. But this shouldn't even be a hip hop conversation. It shouldn't. It's just too much crime in hip hop for this. You see what I'm saying? Right. Like, you know, but we've had this conversation several times and it's due time we have it again. But
yeah,
I just wanted to ask if you, you know, how you felt, like, because yeah, that's the conversation going, like, is it snitch? Is he snitching? Is it going to harm his career?
Right. I think it is. Unfortunately, this is what I can tell you.
Mm.
And I'm sure you probably saw the video that came out, I think yesterday or the day before, you know, because it was the first day of the court of the case where Milano, well, first day he took the stand, well, Milano Rose is out, is outside and they're arguing. And see, it's Troy, it's some of Troy Ave people arguing essentially with some people that's on tax side. So what I can tell you about this case as it progressed, there's going to be probably more crime that happens behind this.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I can say it.
The crime ain't over.
Right, because I saw how what was going on with Math Hoffa when he had Troy Ave on his show, right?
Right.
And he had a problem with Tax Stone, right?
Yeah.
But in the show he was like, yeah, finally, you know, we got a Crown Heights episode because him and Troy Ave are from Crown Heights, but there is already people in other parts of Brooklyn that we knew about was having problems with Troy Ave and his people already.
Yeah.
And I think Math excited, not even to put it all on him, but I think he escalated even more, bringing it up and saying all that was said on his show. That just heightened it. And now the person, Banger, Banger got killed? Trife's brother got killed, right? His brother got killed. And I don't know if you saw a week or two ago, they was asking him, how does he feel about, you know, the trial coming up? You know what I mean? Because it's close to him because his brother died. He's like, yo, you know, depending on how this go, that's going to dictate my next move. So I can read through the line. I understood what that meant.
Yeah, you knew exactly what the hell he's saying. Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you. Unfortunately, what I think about this case is more bodies will drop eventually behind this.
Yeah, it's going to be more bloodshed. Yeah. Definitely. Which is sad because it's tied to hip hop, but this ain't necessarily a hip hop situation. You see what I'm saying? Like, and that's the thing. This is like street culture blends into hip hop, and then we start having conversations about street culture as if it's hip hop. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it bleeds all the way out to our man getting a placement.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you see what I mean? Like, and absolutely happy about it, proud of it and everything, but it's just, you see how it extrapolates, like we all, so it is connected.
It is connected, yeah.
You know, no matter how much we would like it for it not to be connected, or we would like to be able to have meaningful separation between the streets and the music.
Good. You know what? Now you just displayed your genius because you just pulled out of me something that if someone was listening to this in real time, they would be probably wondering and want to ask this question. Is it even possible to remove and divorce hip hop from the street element? Can it be done?
Well, yes, but for it to be done, it'll have to, hip hop will essentially have run its course and no longer be useful to, you see what I'm saying? Like it'll run its course, but when it has run its course and no longer be useful to the commodity, like to the industry, then I think it'll find its, then we'll see what'll be left of it. You see what I mean? Is the art.
Yeah,
because the money, if it ain't no more money in it, the streets ain't gonna have shit to do with it.
Right.
You see what I mean? So that's the only reason the streets are involved with it anyway, is because they found a way to get money via the music. Right. You see what I mean? So
different hustle.
Yeah, so I do think it is possible for it to go back, for it to not be there, for it to be removed. No.
Okay.
You know, But yeah, I think once hip hop, like rock, has essentially run its course,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can make rock whatever the hell you want it right now.
Right.
For the masses, you know, and they'll, it's basically going to be like something kind of new, because the masses, like the young masses, didn't grow up with it. They didn't grow up with the examples, you know, so you can kind of replace the sex, drugs, and rock and roll with something different.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be able to replace the street element in hip hop with something different once it's kind of run its course, I think. Yeah.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah, that, you know, that was a good question though. I like that. I think it's you, right? It's on you.
Yeah, this is, we don't even have to spend long on this, but this is just something I was thinking about as I was looking at, as I looked at Lil Uzi Vert's performance. Where was he at? I don't say Grammys. It wasn't the Grammys, though. But
oh, I know what you're talking about. The demonic one?
Yeah. yeah. But my thing is, right? So the question is, because looking at his performance made me think of the question, but will melodic rap, I put in quotes, rap, like, will it remain as a subgenre, as we view it, a subgenre of hip-hop, or is it going to eventuate into its own thing totally outside of hip-hop, like, on some, like, the whole thing move like Post Malone.
Well, inside the culture, the way we speak mm-hmm. about it, yes. You know what I mean? But as far as what the industry is going to show the world and the way it's presented, mm-mm. Because it, essentially, like if you go to any chart, you go any magazine, any of your lists, any of that good stuff, there is no separation mm-hmm. between hip-hop and R&B.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Like, the industry has smashed hip-hop and R&B together completely. There is no separation. It's the hip-hop R&B chart.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the rap chart. You don't get the R&B chart. Don't do that no more. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, with hip-hop becoming more melodic and R&B becoming more, for lack of a better word, MC driven or lyric driven,
mm-hmm.
the industry is not going to separate those things. We may speak about it different. We may treat it different. You see what I'm saying? We may, you know, as from the consumer side of things, but nah, it's going the other direction.
Mm.
It's being homogenized versus being delineated.
Yeah, delineated.
Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's being homogenized. You know, so. Yeah. Which is sad because we had an era where there's so many different versions of it. There's so many different types of it. To lump it all together is almost blasphemy.
Right. It is.
It is blasphemy. I mean, because not to say one ain't great, but Lil Yachty and Rakim ain't doing the same thing.
Right.
That's not the same. You see what I mean? They're not doing the yeah. same thing. It may be of the same culture, but they're not doing the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
So,
agreed.
You know.
Agreed.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Okay.
So this one's a little sad. Well, my next two gonna be sad, so I might as well do them both back to back and then let you go.
Okay.
How about that?
We'll do that.
I'm gonna start with the most recent one, but Bobby Caldwell passed, man.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, man. That hurt, bro. Like,
yeah.
Blue Eyed Soul at its best. You know what I mean? One of the yeah. best Blue Eyed Soul yeah. we ever had,
hey,
man.
Hey, for other people, he's a staple in the black community.
Oh, he is. Oh, he
he's
is.
A staple in the black community. Oh,
oh he
man.
Is. He yeah. is.
I was. It was funny. I was looking at the video talking about how they purposely. You saw that
yeah.
video?
Yeah, I did.
I thought that was interesting. How they marketed him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they put a silhouette, a completely black silhouette of him on the album cover,
so
as to not show him. is you wouldn't know what he looked like. You just see a nice album cover. And so, rock, but that's dope though, because you accept the music on the merit.
Right, right.
You know, like 100% on the merit. Do you like it or do you not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yesterday was interesting. I was, of course, when I heard he passed, I went and listened to it. I mean, of course, that's just what you do.
Yeah.
But Open Your Eyes got stuck in my head.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Open Your Eyes got stuck in my head. So I was around my mom yesterday, so I played it. Because it was stuck. I was like, yo, I'm going to listen to it to get it out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And she was hearing it, you know, from my phone or whatever. She was like, yo, that's so pretty. Mm. I was like, yeah, it's just a slap, yo. And she was like, yeah, I really love that. Got to the end. I played the common version. She was like, that's the version I know.
No, that.
Yeah, she was like, she said when it was out, she was like, I used to play it back to back just to listen to that part, like to listen to the hook, but she never knew. And I was like, so you don't know the original? She was like, nah, I never heard the original. So she was jamming to the, I said, nigga, that's hip-hop.
That's ill. That's hip-hop.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? I was like, yo, that's wild as hell, bro. Yeah,
that is.
Yeah, and I'm like, yo, so she know the common version.
Right.
The common and Dilla version.
Yeah, like you would definitely would have expected her
to be
way more familiar with
For sure. For sure.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, and another salute to Bobby Caldwell is like, in my humble opinion, two of the best hip-hop songs of all time was sampled from Bobby Caldwell.
Mm.
Sky's the Limit from the Notorious B.I.G. and The Light by Common.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two. Like, they got to be in the top 20 if they're not in the top 10. You know what I mean? Like, just perfect songs.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with The Light. It's perfect.
Right, right. Let you. I'll divulge something about myself that you may not know.
Yeah.
I literally hated The Light. I literally hate that song.
You do now still?
I hate that beat.
You're nuts.
I don't like that song at all.
You're nuts.
Now let me say this. So but hey, I gotta show some of my imperfections. So but here's the thing though. It is a perfect song. Nothing's wrong with it. It's perfect.
Right. It just ain't for you.
You see how that works?
I do. You can be subjective. I get it. You don't like it. Don't mean it ain't perfect. I totally understand. It's perfect. There's things that I don't like.
It's just a taste thing.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
And that makes sense. There's really nothing that I can critique and say that, well, this should be here, that should be done, this should be changed.
Right. Yeah. That don't exist on that song. Nah. Yeah, because I can't even do it. Like, there's nothing I would change about it. Right. You know what I mean? Like, nothing.
But this is how crazy and people we are too. If something is too perfect, we don't like it. Even if people, a person, if they're too perfect, we search to see what
the flaw.
Yeah,
that's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah, I that's true. That's true. But you gotta love Sky's the Limit. Ain't no way you don't love that.
Sky's the Limit is a perfect song. It'll be in my top 10 when I listen.
Yeah.
Like, because I have different lists, like my favorite hip-hop songs. Then I got lists, right, that is like, I think are perfect songs.
Yeah,
I think that's
list.
A perfect song. Yeah. Right.
Sure.
Sky's the Limit is a perfect song. The Light is a perfect song.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Dead Presidents is a perfect song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just songs. I feel like the World Is Yours is a perfect, it's certain songs.
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like are just like
Don't Believe the Hype by Public Enemy to me is a perfect song.
Which one?
Don't Believe the Hype.
Don't Believe the Hype. Hell yeah.
It's like it's just shit's perfect.
Yeah.
it's like what? Yeah, you're right. It don't mean I like all the perfect songs, but
right. That's what I'm saying. It's stuff on the list that I don't personally listen to and necessarily like. Right, but it's like, damn, this joint is perfect from start to finish. You can't get a more perfect song. And The Light is like that.
The Light is definitely like that. It's definitely like that. I agree. Yeah, it's dope because this morning I got a chance. I had to take my uncle to the doctor or whatever, and I got a chance to, of course, I played the Bobby Caldwell version first, but right behind that, I played Sky's the Limit. You know what I mean? My uncle don't listen to hip-hop.
Yeah.
At all. But he was able to appreciate how good that was, and he was even hearing what Big was saying. He was like, yo, this is really good. Yeah. And I was like, this is art, bro. This is art. But I also played, this is tangent, but I also, right after that, played D-Train, where the hook came from. You know what I mean? You ever heard that joint? I'll send it to you. Yeah, what 112 is singing came from almost a disco song, like a dance song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, by a guy named D-Train. It's called Keep On. Keep Going is the name of the song.
Okay.
Yeah, fire, too.
I'm talking about fire.
You've heard it. I mean, ain't no way in the hell you grew up in the era we grew up in. It ain't completely past you. Like, you've heard it. You just don't.
I'm like, wait a minute. When I'm saying the name of the song, I'm like, I think I know this.
Yeah, you heard it. Enough on Bobby, man. A few weeks ago, we lost Chugoy the Dove. And I ain't came over here and said nothing about it. We didn't do a whole episode. I'm going to be honest with you. I couldn't have done a whole episode about it because I was crying.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, I was broke up. I didn't. I probably took that one worse than I took a lot of them. You know what I mean? Because as far as an artist, and we talking about Chugoy, Dave, Plug 2. It was Plug 2, right? Yeah, Plug 2. Yeah,
Plug 2.
De La Soul.
Right.
The legendary De La Soul. And it was so crazy, man, because he passed a day or maybe 2 days before their music went on streaming.
Yes, man.
I mean, he didn't get to see it. You know what I mean? Right. They got their publishing back, so he did get to see that.
Right.
But like I was saying, man, that one struck me because I was full-fledged in the hip-hop by the time De La came out. But when they hit the scene, it was like not necessarily seeing yourself, but seeing somebody that was so bold that you could be yourself. See what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to see myself in you, but you being that allows me to see me. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to show me because you showing you. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that's one of them things that, like, it was definitely a turning point on, I always been different, but I think they showed me the value in being different. You know what I mean? Like, I was always different. I didn't necessarily know there was inherent value in being different, though. And De La definitely showed me that in eighth grade.
Right. And I think it gave people confidence, but I guess it showed people how to embrace their uniqueness.
Yeah. It showed people that it's okay to do that. You know what I mean? How to embrace your uniqueness. That's a good way to put it because they made that shit fly.
Yeah.
It didn't make no difference what they did. Them niggas could put on shit that looked like hand-me-downs and it still looked fly.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, so they had a hell of an impact, bro. And then the way they was using samples, you know what I mean? Like, it was a tapestry. We'd never get that again.
Yeah.
We'd never get that again with Prince Paul and the way he was using samples. And I have to be honest, I didn't stay like a mega De La Soul fan throughout my life, you know what I mean? Because as a producer, I move to what moves me at the moment. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not stuck on this feel or this style or this, you know what I mean? I'm hearing everything and I'm enjoying, I'm taking everything in. So I didn't stay on what they was doing. I honestly went towards more street influenced music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I lean more that direction. But I didn't never lose the respect and the love and the, you know what I mean? Like that sense of being good with me that I got in eighth grade when 3 Feet High and Rising dropped and they dropped Potholes in My Lawn. And I was like, yo, what in the fuck is this shit? Like, I don't even know if I should like this. Like, what the hell is it? But this shit jamming. You know what I mean? This shit jamming. What? Yeah. And then me, myself, and I?
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah.
That's on the list.
Yeah. Yeah. And so were you still like a fan following them when Stakes Is High album came out?
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't following them as close, but I was definitely listening to it. Balloon Mind State, Stakes Is High. Yeah, I was still on De La.
Okay.
I was still on De La. I mean, they were native tongue, so I didn't, you see what I'm saying? Like, they were native tongue. So there was never a time where I'm like, yo, I don't rock with De La. That can't happen.
That can't happen. Yeah, I know that.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to go check on it regardless. You see what I'm saying? Like, I checked on one of the last ones with that shit had 2 Chainz on the album. They making 2 Chainz get busy.
Yeah.
Not that he can't get busy, but you know what I mean? It's a De La song.
Yeah, it ain't
nothing else. It's a De La song with 2 Chainz on it. You see what I'm saying? So I still keep up with the boys. But like I said, I wasn't immersed in it. 8th grade, I was immersed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Funny story. This is the Medallion era.
African medallions, right?
That'd be different. Go big or go home, right? So I realized that the door knocker on our front door, the brass door knocker, is a big ass lion head. I sure did take a motherfucking screwdriver and take that bitch off and go get me a good boot string. I sure did go to North Ghana with a huge brass door knocker lion head around my neck.
Yo,
for the African medallion. I sure did. And I got compliments. It was like, yo, where you get them? You downtown.
Oh, that's wild.
Downtown. I definitely did that, yo. Shout out to True Goy the Dove, man. Much love to Dave, man. Salute. Honor you, man. Rest in peace.
Yo, I have to tell you this while we're talking about True Goy. Do you know, like, very rare, especially artists I love and listen to, very rare that they say something in lines and it slipped by me.
Okay.
Bro, the damn, you know what I mean, Pusha T. Seven track album, you know, if you know, you know. That line slipped by me, and it wasn't after till we was all talking about True Goy when, you know, he passed and everything, and I ended up listening to the Pusha T album, and it, like, just radiated. I'm like, yo.
Yeah, then it was like, boop.
Like, you can never do what I do, boy. Went off on the plug, too, like True Goy.
Like True Goy. Yeah. Like,
yo.
Yeah.
I don't know how it didn't register. It's like I heard it. I'm like, but
that is an ill ass name drop though. Ran off on the plug too, like True Goy. Something special out here. Hip hop is something special, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, we lost 2 legends, bro.
Yeah.
We lost 2 legends, man. God bless Bobby Caldwell. God bless True Goy the Dub. Plug 2, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, your turn, man.
Okay. It's not popular. This is not a popular
shit. This ain't a popular podcast. Fuck it. What do this do?
Yo, that is funny. But I'm saying this for like multiple reasons. But what age does a person stop chasing a rap dream? Is there a time?
Mm.
And I say that because, right, that became outside of basketball and entertainment. Right. That became like rapping became
and you can
one
do
of
it
those
longer.
People, right?
Yeah.
So then it became like it's like, you know what I mean? All I say, my saying is, you know, people grandmothers dropping mixtapes. That's my saying to me. Like, yo, everybody rap.
Everybody.
Now.
So everybody.
That became a thing where everyone was running to, like, trying to get on, trying to rap. You know what I mean? And so, I don't know. Is there a limit for a person to stop?
Honestly, no. I think the only limit is how young you appear.
Physically, you mean? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Energy-wise, too. It might not even be what you look like. It's just how people receive you. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you're the type of person that people receive you as young for an extended period of time, you can adjust. You can, like, I could cut all this shit off my face and nobody, I mean, I'm right. I would still look older, but when I walk in a room with 20 something year old dudes, they accept me like I'm in my early 30s.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Even with this shit on my face, even with all this gray, yo, when I tell young dudes how old I am, they like, word? And I'm like, motherfucker, can't you see?
Yeah, yeah.
They like, yo, man, but you know what I'm saying? You cool though. You don't seem like an old head.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just your energy, your vibe. As long as you can, not that I would be trying to rap, but as long as you can present young energy, present vitality. If you can present that and make music that will appeal at that time, you can do it for as long as you want. You can pursue it for as long. It's like acting. Motherfuckers cut off their mustaches and beards and lie about their ages for years, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, Eminem was damn near 30 when he got that first deal, when he got the deal with Dre.
Yeah, yeah.
They cut all his facial hair off, dyed his hair blonde. People thought he was in his early 20s. He was a grown ass man.
Yeah.
You know? So it's all, but you gotta know how to sell it. You gotta know what you're doing. You can't just be out here. You can't grow this. And you know what I mean, and handle it like an old head, and think you're gonna be getting the same reception. It's not gonna work.
Yeah,
like you're gonna get laughed out of the building. But so I think, you know, but I may be completely wrong. Like the kids may be able to see something that I don't know nothing about. But I don't believe they can't. I don't believe they looking. I believe they accepting whatever is sold to them.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they ain't looking for all that shit. If you could present it to them and it look cool, they buying it. Mm-hmm. You know, so. Plus, I know for a fact that when somebody get a record deal, chances are they've been grinding at it for 10, 15 years before you ever knew who they was. So you ain't looking at the most people you looking at pop up ain't young.
Yeah,
they way older than you think they are. You got them anomalies, them NBA young boys, and you got anomalies that's just young niggas, but somebody like Blueface, that nigga went to Fairfield State. He can't be but so young.
Right, right.
You understand what I'm saying? He can't be but so young. The nigga went to Fairfield State already.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what you think.
So I agree. I agree with the points that you made.
Okay.
I think that would be the only limit.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as the music is viable, we accepting that the music is viable. You know what I mean? We kind of putting that to the side. Like, as long as the music, you know, stating that that's fact.
Yeah.
What else has to happen? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Right. Think that's kind of what you was asking, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought. All right. So just real quick, man.
Yeah.
Jim Jones and Hitmaker.
So okay.
How you feel about that? Did you listen to the whole thing?
Oh yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. I listened to the whole thing like twice. Twice. So that first, like, honestly, that first song don't belong there. But I'm glad it's there.
Yeah, it better be.
Just because it came out, I love that joint.
Yeah, that first song, fire.
Yeah, and I thought the rest of the album was going to be like that. Then I found out, I see what y'all doing. I see who y'all catering to. Yeah. And it's a very, very, I don't like it. It's just not for me. I know they didn't make that album for me.
Right.
All of Us That Love El Capo was not supposed to love this. They're going after different things, and you can tell they're going after something different from when he made El Chapo, El Capo album, right? And we know that because Hitmaker was recently throwing shots at Hit Boy, saying, no, my stuff get played on the radio, right?
Right.
So he was saying that. So that already told you the mind state. So when I started listening, I started hearing all the singing hooks and like all these melodies and these beats. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Y'all made this really for the clubs, the women, trying to get something on radio. Cool. Now, what I will say, so it's not an album for me, but it's not a bad album. Here's the thing. It is one of the cleanest albums. It's very clean. It is mixed exquisitely. Mm-hmm. The mix is so, it sounds so good. Sonically now, it's mixed very well.
Yeah. Honestly, you're right. You're absolutely right. That album to me is more of a brochure for Hitmaker than it is an album for Jim Jones.
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly what it is. Yep.
It's like a Hitmaker brochure.
Absolutely. That's a fact.
You know what I mean? That's you know, because you could take Jim Jones off every song.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Off every song and replace him with a different artist. Not that Jimmy is bad on the album. It's right. Not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the way these songs is constructed, they're not Jimmy songs. They Hitmaker songs. Mm-hmm. They songs for the industry.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? These are placements, and Jimmy just went through and gave Hitmaker a bag and was like, look, we're gonna turn. I want all of those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want all of those. I'm like, all right, fine. Another thing that it is almost it's damn near a cover album.
Yeah.
It's damn near a cover album. Mm-hmm. And we had this conversation like briefly. And that's something that we're gonna talk about, like in full.
Is it too soon?
Flips over samples.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's one thing to sample a song, yeah, right? To go digging and find a sample. This ain't that. These are just flips, not remixes, but just flips. You see mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Yeah, I understand it, but if 75% of your album is this, then it gets a little formulaic, and you start to lose the artistry in what you're doing.
Yeah, well, they won't try. I don't think that again. I don't think they cared right. about the artistry.
Right,
we're trying to get placements. We want it on the radio.
This is a commodity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's all this was a business right. play.
And like you said, it's not bad. And it shouldn't be bad. It shouldn't be bad songs because these are songs that would get placements anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? So, it ain't... I mean, it's a couple on there. It's like, damn, bro, did you even remake it?
Yeah.
Or you just got the stems from the other one. Like, damn, son. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I'm not hating. I'm just like... Add some shit to it. Just a little some bottom end, something just to make mm-hmm. it feel a little new. You right. mean not that Jim Jones is rapping over an old Usher song.
Yeah.
I don't want that, you know, but
yeah.
Since this I'm gonna go ahead and run this next one real quick.
Yeah.
Have you listened to the Hit-Boy and Music Soul Child album?
No, I haven't.
All right. I'm gonna just give you my brief opinion on it then.
Yeah, please.
There is some fire on there. Guaranteed, there is some fire on there. Do I like the whole... I get bored throughout the duration of it. So I haven't finished it in one sitting. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is music. Soul Child, it is. Part of that is Hit-Boy. In my opinion, and I've said this before, I think Hit-Boy spreading itself is just a little bit too thin.
Okay.
You know, I think he's spreading himself a little bit too thin. I think he just need to slow down and cock back and knock something out the water. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Like, the public is going to accept these Nas joints. He ain't got to knock them out the water no more. You ain't got to do... You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's set up until niggas get tired of them, because that always happens. Mm-hmm. Until niggas get tired of this Nas Hit-Boy format, they're going to accept them. So he ain't got to focus on knocking those out the water, even though it would be nice. But everything else he's doing, he need to slow down, cock back, and knock these shits out the water.
Yeah, I agree.
You know? Because at this point, when you start having these one-off projects like this and they come out kind of boring, one or two more of these, it's like, why is there a reason for me to run to a Hit-Boy produced project?
Yeah, I follow.
You know, and it's not that it's bad music, but for the rate that he's cranking them out, I think he could take his level of music up and be even more valuable and be knocking our heads off when he come through. You see what I'm saying? Versus, it was cool. I liked it. You know what I mean? It's like,
okay, that's interesting, because when I thought about topics, one, if you can see it, but I wrote down, is Hit-Boy overrated?
I don't think he's overrated, bro. I just think he's greedy.
You think he's greedy and he's spreading himself too thin?
Yeah. He personally feels like he's in a zone. And ain't nothing wrong with that, but it's quality over quantity, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Right? Especially when you somebody as nice as him. And you link with somebody. You already got a legendary, like the niggas in Paris is legendary. Jay-Z and Ye. Mm-hmm. Now you got a 3 to 4 album run with one of the greatest of all time, and Nas. You got the opportunity to be way more calculated. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Instead of doing a whole album with Benny, a whole album with music, a whole album, nigga, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, it's either greed or stupidity.
Right. But see, that's the reason why I asked the question, is he overrated? Because the projects that you mentioned, the production isn't super outstanding on them. Mm-mm. So, I mean, you know.
Even the Big Sean joint, they fucked that project up. That won't be even good. Yeah. So, I agree. I don't think he's overrated. I mean, I'm not going to give it overrated. Overworked and overreaching. He's overreaching, which is causing him to overwork himself, which is making him feel like he's overrated. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I feel about that one. I think the last thing I got down, what you got, you got anything else you wanted to bring up?
Oh, man. So I had three things, but only one I feel like is worth discussing. I wanted to get your opinion on, because everybody thinks they're the best.
Okay.
That's the general attitude of most rap artists, right?
Yeah, for sure.
We know some of the greats. Last episode, we actually put the greats in order from beginning up to present. So I wanted to ask you, and especially because you have not only artist ears, but producer ears. Mm-hmm. What makes the great ones great?
Woo. What makes the great ones great?
Yeah. Like some of the, you know, the ingredients that goes into being great.
The first thing that pops into my head is an uncanny ability with rhythm.
Okay.
Uncanny ability with rhythm. The greats are doing something rhythmic that everybody else ain't doing during the time that they doing it.
Okay.
Most times. That's what makes them stand out. You see, now Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, greats, they just were not doing what everybody during that era was doing. Jay-Z and Nas, they were not doing, Biggie was not doing what everybody else was doing. They was doing the same, you mean they were doing the same thing, but the version that Nas was doing, what? Right. You see what I'm saying? Like, he's just doing it in a way that, so that rhythmic ability is one thing. And honestly, rhythmic ability is probably the first thing that draws me in.
Yeah.
Because I hear how you're saying it before I hear what you're saying. So you got to be saying it nice for me to give a damn that you're saying something.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
what you're saying, it sounds crazy. I ain't listening.
Yeah. If I ain't listening. Yeah, if you sound crazy as hell, I'm not even investigating what you're talking about. I don't give a damn what you're talking about. You don't sound right.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that rhythmic ability is, I think, the first thing. Lyricism is one thing, but I think more than lyricism, you need to have a way with words. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Because lyricism means something different to everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got some people that's like, they like the dense lyricism of Nas. Some people are going to tell you Tupac is a way more lyricist, a way more thoughtful lyricist than Nas.
Those people should be killed.
God.
Nah, let me say.
Yeah. but you know what I mean? Yeah, but I understand where they're coming from, because they both have a way with words, and it's just like how you choose to use those words. Mm-hmm. Is based on your rhythmic ability.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So having a way with words, being able to say something, being able to say the right thing in the right place. You know what I mean? Like that thing. And then on top of that, you add lyricism, because I think that's a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. Like lyricism is being able to paint the picture. You see what I'm saying? From beginning to end. Like it's the entire picture. It's not the fact that I'm nice with angles or hands, or you see what I'm saying? That's the way with words, but being able to paint the whole picture is lyricism. And I think that's the thing. And having good taste, bro.
Yeah.
That's the thing, having good taste. And some of our greats struggled with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Some of our greats struggled with that. I don't know that Rakim has great taste.
Agreed.
I don't know that Rakim has great taste. I can't tell. You know what I mean? I can't tell.
Yeah.
For real, I can't tell. Now, I can tell Big Daddy Kane got taste.
I can tell BDK got taste.
Yeah, you mean, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I can't necessarily tell KRS-One's got good taste. Outside of music. Like, inside of music, yes.
Yeah, it's so funny you saying this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just certain things. Like, Nas got good taste. Nas got good taste in a lot of areas, but inside music, Nas's taste is a little fucked up.
It is.
You see what I mean? So it's just like, so you gotta have good taste. That's why certain people shine more than others. You know what I mean? And they get that light that other motherfuckers wouldn't have got. You know what I mean? Like, just cause. So it's a lot of variables, bro. But I think those probably the top ones for me.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like that.
Okay. Yeah. I got one question for you before we get out of here.
Okay.
Oh, did you want to answer that?
No, because I was going to say most of what you said. What I would add is consistently. So you can't have a dope verse one on this song, then you got five trash verses on others. Like, the greats are generally consistently dope.
Yes. That's a perfect one to add. Perfect one to add. Yeah. Perfect one to add. Because it don't make a difference if you could do it once.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You do it once, that's nothing. Like, but can you repeat that success? You know? Last thing I wanted to ask you, bro, was I wanted to ask you about how you feel about the Dreamville Fest lineup.
I like it. I mean, it's a dope lineup, but it's some people like I don't like Usher. I don't want to see Usher. Like, it's a few people. I'm like, personal taste, because when I think of Dreamville, I'm thinking, even though we know there's going to be different genres of people, it's still predominantly a hip hop. I really don't want to go to hear Usher.
But it's not. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the catch.
I know you got the point. The angle you're going to argue. I get what you're saying.
That's like saying TDE is a primarily hip hop label. Who's the biggest artist on Dreamville?
J. Cole.
Who's the next biggest artist on Dreamville?
J. Cole, because I don't announce. Nah. Are you going to say Ari Lennox?
Fucking right. Ain't nobody else over there fucking with Ari. None of them niggas. Yeah. Yeah, none of them niggas is fucking with Ari.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you mention Lou, Boz, Cos, all of them, nobody, Ari's the biggest. Yeah.
Combined.
Yeah.
Combined, them niggas ain't fucking with Ari.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah. And when you go to somewhere like TDE, now Kendrick gone, who's the biggest artist on TDE?
Why am I SZA?
Exactly. Exactly. These are not hip hop labels. These are record labels.
I'm glad you brought. Oh, that's good, man. You good? That boy bad. He good. That's a great point. That's crazy. I'm biting that. I'm using that.
Yeah, that's what we're for. Yeah.
It's true, but we don't think about it because of
the flagships
of history.
Exactly, the flagship history
on TDE. What imprint? Like I can speak for myself. What imprinted me most? You know, J Rock album, the Kendrick album,
right?
Schoolboy projects. You know, mm-hmm. Adam Souls, and then you know when I'm thinking about Dreamville, I'm thinking about Cole. You know, mostly.
I'm
mad I can't say too many names, but you know what I mean. I'm not even you know. But the reality of it is, the stand out. Flagship artist in truth outside of, you know, at least with Dreamville, outside of the owner of it, is an R&B act on both sides.
And on Dreamville, yes, outside of Cole is Ari, but on the TDE side, it ain't nobody but SZA,
right?
Because ain't no Kendrick over there no more.
Nope, they tried to push Ab Soul and make him more marketable with this album.
Yeah. And that shit was good though.
Yeah, but it didn't work.
It didn't work just because Absol don't have a big enough following yet. Like his following's underground.
Right. Right.
Yeah, his following is underground. It's gonna take a while.
It's gonna take forever because it's gonna take a while. Is not big star persona.
Right, but he I believe he's beginning to want it, so he may have a shot at getting.
He may have a shot. Yeah.
Cause he's got talent wise, he can make it happen. Got it. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So as long as he and he's looked how he's looked forever.
Yeah, bro.
He still present as himself. Yeah. So
you surprise me sometimes so much, yo. I would have never thought, right, that you would speak so positively, so optimistic about the future of Ab Soul. This is like I'm blown away. I ain't gonna front.
Okay. Context. Put him on any other label, I wouldn't say that shit.
That's the Ave I know.
I wouldn't feel you. Because they know him well enough, and I think they know what to give him to help him get there, and the type of music they do has already reached it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That height. You know what I mean? So he can get in a lane that people are accepting from them already.
Yeah.
You know, and go somewhere. But he's just got to switch it up just a little bit. But, yeah.
Okay.
I like that, though. But my opinion on the Dreamville Fest thing, bro, is...
I didn't get to finish.
Oh, go ahead. My bad.
No. So I was going to say, I think it's a dope lineup, like Earth Gang. I love Earth Gang. It's a lot of people up there that's dope. I know everybody talking about Drake. But see, here's the thing with me. There's nobody on the lineup that I'm like just dying that I love their music so much that it's a must I see them in person. For me personally, and I'm saying on the rap end because I'm focused on the rappers that's going to be there. Like Waka Flocka, I like him. I don't have no strong desire to see his music perform live. You get what I'm saying? So, for me personally, it's not like if Raekwon and Ghost is up there, I'm like, oh, okay, I can't miss them again. I got to see this. You know what I mean? So, but it's just nobody on the list rapper-wise that I am so in love with their music, I got to go see. So, personally, for me, if I end up going, I'm just going to just fill time with something to do and write or take shots because I'm in the photography, so I may take go out and take pictures or something, right? But other than that, I don't have a strong desire to see all of those acts personally.
Yeah. As far as the acts go, I have realized personally, for my personal use, that if I decide to go to a festival, I'm going for the experience. I'm not going because of who's performing.
Okay. That, and that makes sense.
Because the chances that you got enough artists at your festival event to make me feel like I want to pay is slim to none. Because the way festivals set up, you have so many different types of artists. You know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know. So, but this one, I think the lineup in total was better last year. But I think this one is bigger.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Drake on it. Definitely bigger.
I mean, it's Usher, Drake, J. Cole, and Burna Boy.
Burna Boy. Now, I do actually would like to see Burna Boy.
Like, that's a hell of a lineup.
That is, yo. I ain't gonna
that's think. A that hell is. Of a lineup. Like, that's insane.
That's insane.
Without mentioning no other names, that's kind of crazy.
That is crazy. I ain't gonna front. That's crazy.
You know, so
yeah.
Do it really matter that it ain't a lot of people I want to see? Nah. Like if I've never seen Usher, and me being a like you hip hop, you listen to all types of music now, right. but like I grew up listening to all types of, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So when I want to see Usher live,
yeah, yeah.
You see what I mean? Just because. Yeah, I get it. But like, if you had the opportunity to see Mike alive, if you had the opportunity to see Chris Brown alive, if you have the opportunity to see Usher alive, and you like performance, you probably want to see them niggas if you get the chance.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? Because they doing something that every human that held the microphone is saying couldn't fucking do what these niggas can do. You see what I'm saying? Prince, everybody can't get up there, and Prince is different than the other three I named, and Mike, of course, is different than the other niggas. But
sure. But
you feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like. It's certain niggas that's so good at what they do. When you get an opportunity to see them motherfuckers, you might want to check them out. You know what I mean? Yeah, that kind of shit.
Yeah. I'm
interested to see who the guest is gonna be. If they bring a guest. Cause with Usher, Drake, J. Cole, and Burna Boy, who in the fuck do you bring out as a guest?
Right.
It ain't really but one person that you can bring out that's going to make any type of impact at all. Two. Well, three. That I can think of. That's going to have a bigger... That's going to have an impact beside them niggas.
Yeah. Well, then you talking really up echelon. You talking about Jay, Beyonce, or something?
Well, no, I was talking... Well, yeah. But I'm talking K-Dot.
Oh, yeah. Kendrick.
Kendrick, yeah, sure. Travis Scott. And like Jay.
Yeah.
But Jay ain't coming out, so we ain't got to worry about that.
Jay not coming.
Kendrick, Travis Scott.
A possibility.
Somebody like that.
Possibility, huh? One of them may show up.
Yeah, but I, you know, so. And Cuzzle Faith put me on to that. She was like, because they didn't have a guest last year. There wasn't a guest last year. And for it to be. The headline is to be so big, if you're going to bring a guest, it's going to be somebody huge.
Yeah.
Huge. I think Meek Mill was the guest. The guy I was.
Sorry.
He going to have to do better than Meek Mill.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that now.
Yeah, but we know it ain't going to be Hov. He ain't coming. You know Beyonce ain't coming. So the only person is... It'll be K-Dot. But you know what? Now Drake going to be there.
I don't see that happening.
That ain't working.
That's the same thought I had. I was like, that's not happening.
Nah.
Yeah, I don't see that. Not unless he got more respect for him than 21.
Mm-hmm.
That's who the fuck is. 21's going to be there.
Well, yeah, he going to be there for sure.
Yeah, but his name ain't on that shit, so he might just be the guest.
Yeah, but then he was there before. right?
Right, but he wasn't there when they had when him and Drake had an album on the chart.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. We know for sure he's going to be there because right, they're going. It is no way that Drake is on that card, and you're not going to hear 21. Can you do something for me?
Not possible.
21 come out. That is happening.
Yeah, that's happening.
The whole crowd is going to say that line.
Yeah,
when he said
that's happening.
21 is that's coming happening. Out.
You're right. I think we might have solved that one too.
Yeah.
Especially when they just dropped the tickets for that tour. Yeah, that's going. That's the shit starting at 220.
Yeah. So, but you brought up a great point. So if I go, that will be the only reason. Like, for the experience.
Yeah, for the experience.
Because I didn't go to the one when you went, and then COVID, then the other one,
right.
I didn't go to that one. So if I go, then that'll be why I go, just simply for the experience.
Yeah, it's a damn shame that we need to be there as conversate for a few, though.
True, we do.
We do need to be there. Do I feel compelled to go? No, but we need to be there.
Like, principally speaking,
we should be there.
Yeah.
We should be there. So
we'll see.
I don't know. I'll let you know what I decide.
Yeah.
I haven't decided that yet. But from what I understand, the shit sold out. So you gotta put your name on the wait list if you're trying to go.
Right. But here's what happened. What happens each time I always get hit up by somebody. Yo, you want tickets? I got three tickets. I got two tickets. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's gonna be tickets floating around. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I like this off the top joint, man.
Yeah, it's real good. Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this.
Listeners needed.
Yeah, I think so, and I think we needed it too.
Yeah, we did.
I think we needed it too. But is there anything else on your list you feel like we need to get to?
Nah, I think we good. We got everything. I think that the best things on my list.
We got the best things on mine too. I guess. After that good conversation, man, I'm going to ask the people to go follow us on social media and follow us on Instagram at Conversate for a Few. Go follow us on Facebook. Just search Conversate for a Few. You'll find us. Go to YouTube, hit subscribe, hit the notification button. Matter of fact, go back and watch the back catalog too, man, because we got some dope shit back there. Stay tuned for the limited edition Futane Clan merch. Promises on the way. Stay tuned for the book, audio joint. I know that's coming. I started pulling episodes too. So okay, we got to get together and go through them joints.
Gotcha.
But with that being said, yo, I'm Jonna.
I'm Alan. This was not a podcast about classical music.
Absolutely was not. This is a podcast about hip hop. Make room for the tag.
Conversate for a few. Conversate for a few.
Hustle, welcome, man, they had to send me. Hustle from Raleigh, live from NC with your hosts, John and Alan. Relate to the two, you are now listening to Conversate for a Few. Check it on SoundCloud, debate with your crew. They talking hip-hop from the late to the new. From July till June end, no Fridays for me, tune in. Please listen to this podcast. 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 Please listen to this podcast.